Blog Talk Radio. How the ruins made themselves known to me during my trip up to Siberia, we've already heard. However, in the ruins there are seven sets of 96 each, creating a total of 672 ruins. Someone that has studied the principles surrounding and the mastery of the first four ruins and is living it in their life, practicing the qualities in their daily life and entering into the mystery of these ruins till they live for you and they become really, they become living beings. The one who masters the first four sets becomes a master of the ruins. The one who masters all seven sets, because there's three additional ones, and they become a grandmaster. There are principles they have to understand. There are the embodiment of the of these sacred principles that the ruins are speaking through. They also have to be incorporated into their lives. But anyone that is called to do this, the ruins will call you. And anyone that is called by the ruins to do this, you can go from master to grandmaster as you grow accustomed to it. And entrenched in the wisdom of the ruins. So we have a few people that have been initiated into mastery and will be initiated into mastery just simply to hold the space for this event of the grandmasters rising in specific countries to take place. Oftentimes in this work, there are placeholders, because the placeholders is that, okay, the benefit of this has to come in right now, because there's war that needs to be prevented, there's this that needs to be changed from happening and so on, so that change on earth can come more gracefully, but the work hasn't caught up yet, and nor have you. Let's face it, we are receiving work through the I Am Course, insights on a day-by-day basis. So what happens then is a placeholder is placed. Somebody is called, initiated at least in the first four, so that they can hold the space for this event to happen in a specific landmass. You know, we have somebody for Russia, we have somebody for the Ukraine, and then we will have somebody for Europe, and we will have somebody for North America, and they will just hold it till everybody can catch up. But there isn't a rank where somebody can never catch up to. Grandmaster is available for anyone that wishes to walk this self-responsible and holy journey. The owl, the white owl, is the symbol of death. And it is in dream symbols that, and to Native Americans, it's that, the Toltec dream symbols that we are making available to you for free on the free section of our store is also giving all these different dream symbols as studied by Toltec Nahuals. So the white owl speaks of death. Above its head is a 15-pointed star. And underneath it, there are glyphs, and they are speaking of the masters and the grandmasters of the ruins becoming a bridge of no time. The bridge of no time is the bridge that goes from the known and the unknown, from the known and the unknown, the bridge in between. So it is the external and the internal space is called the bridge of no time. All of this uses still the space of the tube torus. The tube torus is a mirror. In ego identification, one is in the mirror, and life is very oppositional because mirrors give opposite images. In oneness, you step out of the mirrors, but you still are using the space defined by the tube torus that used to be the out-breath and in-breath of the infinite. So between the oneness and the ego identity, and ego identity has many stages in it. We will put these stages into perspective because what we are talking about today and have studied this week during this retreat, it has never been there before. It sounds like it because we had some rehearsals, but this is the real thing. Now, there is also a rainbow bridge that is the bridge of no space. That is the bridge that is the bridge of the high heart. It is the bridge that leaves the space behind and enters into the fluid space of a resurrected being that has stepped completely out of the eggshell that has been his or her incubation chamber for eons, as individuation was refined and developed. In other words, we get out of the egg, it requires the high heart, and when we do, space becomes fluid. And we will look a little bit more about that later. So the Rune Masters interpret not only inner space for outer space, but something much greater. See, the master learns how to interpret what he or she is feeling and how that feeling speaks and guides in the outer space. The grandmaster interprets not only that, but something far more profound. Because the ripples through our inner senses, of which there are, just like the number of the ruins, 7 times 96, which is 672 inner senses. It interprets the inner senses ripple in response to the infinite intent. So the grandmaster, which is a really serious calling, a serious mantle to take up for one, interprets not for other people, but for yourself, the infinite's will through the response of your inner senses. And then the lower levels of interpretation, which is not lower in value, it just is lower in its function, interprets what the inner space is saying and how should that be acted upon in outer space. So that is what the Rune Master does. They become a bridge between inner space, where the infinite's voice is heard and responded to, and outer space. We said this week that there are 7 outer senses, with five we know of, the sixth sense is the response of the skin that is untouched to its environment. Goosebumps, hair standing up, skin crawling, things like that. And then the seventh sense is a visceral response. It is the organs that respond to the environment to tell you, beware, or yes, this is a go. For instance, somebody would say, that really hurt my heart. If it hurts the heart, or it makes you feel like you can't breathe, or your stomach is tight, it's telling you messages, and it is responding to the outside stimulation. These are the seven senses. Now, the 672 senses are each sense interpreted by the ruins. As you start to master a particular ruin, that inner sense becomes heightened, refined, and more able to be heard by you. So you live the ruin, the inner sense responds. Or you learn finally in the second stage what the inner spot response means. Which ruin does it pertain to? There, and how to master this is a matter of some years, because this is a very serious journey. And it isn't one that is just for everybody. You will know when the excitement is in you, when the mystery beckons, the ruins are calling. Now, the 672, there are 672 acupuncture points. We are working with some of these points on the 12 and meridians, and then the additional 8 meridians in the protocols that we have designed for the alchemical oils. But there, how does one get the 672 acupuncture points on the skin to function properly? Because the skin is very unique in the body. See, it either holds a matrix or it is a clear communication path. To hold the matrix means that it holds information of old things that have gone. Shame, injury, this part is good about my body, this part isn't good about my body. So self-acceptance, self-rejection, all of it in the skin. And the skin is similar to membranes that contain space. The matrix that has encapsulated and captured life within it, particularly in duality, once upon a time, it was a fluid, clear membrane. And then we stuck belief systems to it, and the belief systems that we put there, we made the matrix, became our dictator and our jailer. We made it, we can unmake it. So during this week, you know, you may have found that I challenge things that you take for granted. If you tell me this and this happened in your womb, if you tell me this and this is the case with philosophies, I'm going to challenge it. Because ultimately, this journey will reveal itself the most to the one who says, I cannot hope to know. I take nothing for granted. I live in a sea of unknowableness, and humility does not mean less than or more than. It means to acknowledge the unknowable grandeur of the universe is beyond your ability to label and stick into a box. Now, the skin is only purified so that these little acupuncture points can start to function like they should. How should they act? They actually take in outer stimulation, outer inspiration into the inner. And they also broadcast, like little mini chakras, they broadcast hormonal messages. Now, a hormone that carries messages to the external is a pheromone. So the pheromones of this high godhood that awaits one that can master death and life, the owl's death, the ruin master, and it's the white owl that's death, as a symbol. The ruin master stands with one foot in the inner world and one foot in the outer world. Death is retreating into inner space. I've never said that, but that is what death is. It retreats into its inner space. And the inner space is used in the old way of death as experiencing the mirrors. The same that your outer space has experienced the mirror of life. The inner space is the part of you that walks around in the mirror of death. We are stepping out of these mirrors. As resurrected beings, we are neither in life nor in death because they are mirrors. We are in the pure, pristine existence that is a current within the infinite ocean. So the skin is therefore a very important tool to broadcast the pheromones of high godhood. And we will see what these pheromones have been broadcasting in the different stages in which we have been. However, there are 672 ruins, 672 senses that speak through different acupuncture points. How do we get our skin pure, like a clear membrane instead of a clouded, thickening matrix? By purifying the rivers that supply these little ponds of holy essence, and that is the meridians. So we have 20 meridians, 12 ordinary meridians, 8 extraordinary meridians. There is a huge initiative on my part right about now to create the high alchemy, or indeed perhaps the perpetual alchemy, with fragrance and sound, because those are two things that remind us of oneness. When we look, we see separation. It doesn't necessarily remind us of oneness. It could, but not at this stage. And so what it is that we're looking at is that these remind us of oneness. Fragrance and the alchemy on the fragrances. The alchemy on the fragrances is what is important. It is not actually the content of the fragrance. And so the alchemy on the fragrances is what awakens the ability for us to remember life when it was still in a fluid membrane. In other words, to shed some of the matrices, the solid structures that block the meridians, for example, and areas in your body where disease and discomfort is felt, they ease and they dissolve the strictures of those structured forms that won't let go. It's like the beaver's dam that won't let the river pass through. And so eventually, if he manages to completely dam up the river, the water becomes stagnant. These structured forms caused by belief systems are tackled by the fragrance and by sound. I have already produced the sound elixirs for every one of the 12 times 4, the ordinary meridians, negative emotions. It is just a matter that it has to make its way through the pipeline to get into your hands. It's also waiting for me to put together the full protocol of the high alchemy of fragrance. But the goal of it is to purify the meridians. This week has seen us working very diligently on the meridians because of a vital point that we've not yet stressed. If we have blockages in the meridians, the skin is not purified at the acupuncture point level. If it is not purified, the inner and the outer space is blocked from communicating the inspiration. Inspiration comes from two places, from yourself and from your source. And you can say, wait a minute, I mean, I see things in the exterior that I'm extremely inspired by. Well, you are everything you see. You are your reality. It is an expression of you. That is why for years we've been saying that you can change your reality by changing yourself. So what inspires you in your environment is you inspiring yourself. If that was not a quality already in you, you would not be able to see it. We can only acknowledge and recognize what we have. So now, to be able to get inner and outer space in a place where they are talking to one another, where the bridge of no time is open and flowing, and there's communication and cooperation in order to move into the next level beyond oneness. We have identity consciousness, we have oneness, and then we have something far beyond that. To be able to do that, the meridians have to be clear so that the acupuncture points are clear, for one. I mean, there are multiple reasons. And the meridians, the 12 meridians, when they are clear, they sing the 12 tones of harmlessness. The 12 tones of harmlessness is found in Kriha Nash Belvaspata. When the 8 meridians that we call the extraordinary meridians, and there's a huge amount of work on them yet to be done, that's waiting here like a balloon in front of me. I'm just trying to finish the alchemy of the 12 meridians. It's already sitting there, and it is the very next thing. But possibly in about a month and a half or so, the work on it will start. So what we are looking at is that the 12 meridians have the 12 tones or qualities of harmlessness. Harmlessness is found in Kriha Nash Belvaspata. The 8 tones of fertility is found in this manual called The Bridge of No Time that I am in the middle of writing. It should be done by the end of November. And then again, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to print it, but it comes from that information. That information is already in a book. It was written a very, very long time ago, before even the creation of human beings on Earth. That book has waited to come out. It is now time. All the ancient gods and goddesses, the original ones that gravitate to this work, have gathered here. Jointly as they awaken, they combine their song and create an alchemy. And the alchemy is what has called this force. So, if we take a look now, in identity consciousness, we have got 7 chakras that function as the primary chakras. We have studied the fact that there's 24 chakras there, but there are 7 main ones. And you cannot, in fact, leave the treadmill from this separation consciousness that works so strongly with polarity. So the problem is, you know, we are being told not to die. Death has been a place where we've experienced oneness, or we go into the stagnation of the bliss, and that is not too healthy either. People regard it as very masterful, but it is actually stagnation. So now we have the problem that we can't leave from life in polarity to step off the treadmill, because we need an 8th chakra. This chakra is only available you have to be in oneness. So either you have to be in bliss within life, or it has to happen from the place of death. Because in the place of death, you are experiencing it from an inner space. Inner space has oneness. Now, what the problem is, in oneness, you have your eighth chakra. That's the door to get off the treadmill. Oneness itself is part of duality. It just is the feminine part, and that is the feminine aspect within each being that holds the gate. Look at how the perfection of the work we've received over the years plays out. In 1999, I wrote the book, it was A Life of Miracles. I wrote the book A Life of Miracles. I said that there were 12 gods, and there were 12 goddesses plus one. And the 13th one is in the middle. And the 12 gods and goddesses are in pairs around the sides. What I really was explaining is a DNA strand. We drew it like a rose. Also, in that very first book, very simplistic. I didn't have a clue what it was I was receiving. I just wrote it down. But really, it's the 12 strands of DNA that begins this journey. And the 13th is the tunnel within. It is the middle of the rose. And this is what we were talking about. We also were indicating, though we didn't know it at the time, that the feminine holds the gateway out of the existing matrix. The matrix of oneness and the many, the one and the many, they're still opposites, but in oneness, the eighth chakra, the turquoise chakra of the high heart, comes about, and it is through this chakra that the oneness of the outer and the inner takes place, and in fact, where you can step off the treadmill of polarity altogether. So, what is the goal of working, first of all, with the meridians in terms of this eighth chakra? First, you're in identity consciousness. We have spent years putting it into order because it is a place and a state of complexity. Then we started to talk about oneness, how to live the oneness. It isn't a stable place to be. If you linger too long in oneness, you get knocked back with a vengeance. So oneness is not stable because it's part of opposites. So you go back eventually. So unless you exit through the high heart. So for the high heart to be able to open, you must have harmlessness. Harmlessness is only found through the purification of the 12 meridians. You also need to have the tones of fertility, because every one of those tones is dealing with a new cooperative godhood in which you are very self-determinative according to the infinite's will. It is a state that you have to exit this treadmill of up and down and up and down, light frequency, you have to exit it. So those qualities lie in the pure tones of the 20 meridians, the 12 plus the 8. It also opens the ability for the skin to move between two realms. You will find that your sixth sense, the skin's response to things, will become much, much stronger as this occurs. You open the meridians. You then open the acupuncture points. You are opening to the language of inner space for articulation into outer space. And now you are ready for the high heart to open. How does that occur? That is something that today we will be working on quite a bit. And it is the outer states of nature. And I'm not sure if we call them tones or states, but I believe it's tones that I'm reading, the outer tones of nature. I believe that there was 27. The 27 tones of nature, I have it written down, it's up in my paperwork there because it's today's work. But it is qualities that you recognize about nature in your environment so that you can clearly understand that nature is not a place. Nature can take place just as much within a little prison cell because they are conditions. They are the fluid non-resistance, but still with self-determination of the river. Just consider. The river isn't stopped by the rock in the river. It flows around it. It's in surrender. But it doesn't stop flowing either. It determines its course, and it also continues its flow. It is a very incredible quality that is the quality of mastery, but it's a quality of nature, the fluid flow of the wind and the ocean and the water. And in its fluidness, over a long period of time, it carves the landscape and the face of the landscape. The wind carves the mountains. It shapes the trees here on the Oregon coast where we are. You can see which way the wind comes from, in from the ocean, because our trees bend their backs to the ocean. So these are qualities that we can feel within us, and as we feel it, it sets us free from confinement, because we carry this external states of nature within. Now, there are also the same number, and as I say, I believe it's 27, tones of nature within. The states or the tones of nature within, they're magical. They are water flowing uphill. They are a stone in which the cosmos is kept. They are a pebble in a child's hand that is his close companion. They are magical qualities that were so impossible to put into words that they have become little contradictory but poetical statements. It's you have to feel what they're saying rather than hear what they're saying. But it is the combination of living external nature and internal nature jointly, as though nature is flowing through you like the wind that blows through a screen door. And so as that blends, that is the key, and the high heart opens. It is called the place of magic. It is something that we discussed on the course where we studied the escargots of the gods. What is it called? Divinity Quest. We had an online course in which we gave additional protocols for the Divinity Quest, and Divinity Quest uses the five-pointed star, which is the symbol of the high heart. Now, what are we doing with this inner and outer space, and why are we wanting it to become one? It has been the source of opposition, of competitiveness, of self-war within our being. It is time for opposites, which served their purpose. They made the incubation space for individuation to move to the next level. And as you, as the leaders of consciousness on earth, as you leave the treadmill, you help pull the little chicken of the cosmos out of its egg. It is still mostly in its egg. Its egg is made of the building blocks of life. But you set the tone on earth, and it is time for us to leave the building blocks of life. And as we step off this treadmill, we of course go into matterless matter, which we'll speak about in just a moment. Why have we done this oneness and the many? What is to be achieved? And now we say, okay, we want to combine them by combining inner and outer space. What does it do? Well, firstly, what it does is it creates a unified field of perception. The one eye sees far and the other eye sees near. And jointly, they can see far and near. So we have had contracted vision that studies the details in the duality of egocentricity of man. We have had the broad vision that studies the grand vision of timelessness in oneness. When we put them together, we have a unified field of vision. We have used matrices to define space. As long as we continue to have an eggshell holding the chicken that is made of iron that he can't break free from, that's not going to work. So we, in fact, are creating for humanity a different womb. We are stepping out of the womb, and I will explain this, but we are, for humanity, creating a womb that is a clear membrane and not a rock wall of belief systems, which is a matrix. We are creating it by the purification of the 20 meridians, the 12 and the 8. They are the ribs along which the womb forms for man to finish his development, and after man, all the other races to finish their development while still feeling like they're in a contained space. It's just that the baby is moving from the crib to the playpen, still in a safe place, but able to explore space and time and freedom of choice. Within his playpen, he has freedom of choice. So the meridians that we're clearing is a service we need to render. In exchange, it alters our skin, and we become a living broadcaster of infinite intent and a living sponge for inner and outer inspiration. We will walk the inspired life, and the inspired life of fluid manifestation. So we give the gift, we create a new playpen for them, and we receive a gift. And the gift is that we have enhanced capacities. Now, let's say we have done all these things, and now the high heart opens. What then? Well, before we go there, actually, I should explain about the 15-pointed star. The 15-pointed star represents the 7 chakras of life and the 8 chakras of death, or of the many and the one, or of duality and oneness. It represents the 7 and the 8. Why has it been created like this? This uneven extra chakra for the woman. You know, I actually have a group of Russian people that are a really sort of smallish, exclusive group. They want to stay at a certain level. And they are studying sacred sexuality. And I've just finished my first 2 days of teaching them sacred sexuality. And then next time I teach that will be actually 2 days in Moscow in November of 2014. And then I will be teaching it twice in Vietnam during 2015. But the genitals are like a microcosm of oneness and the many. If you consider that the female produces a single egg. She produces the ovum. He produces trillions and trillions, I don't know how many, you know, of sperm, right? The many. He produces the many to inseminate the one. Furthermore, the fact that the feminine has this one additional chakra is also evidenced. Next time, I've asked them to create a chart for me of the male and female male genitalia, because there's such magic in it, and each part of it has a sigil. And if you can project the sigil into either your own genitals or, for example, a partner's genitals, you can awaken incredible sexual magic. The female has an additional opening. She has the urinary opening, she has the vaginal opening, and then there's the rectal opening. He has only two. She has an additional one. So that additional opening, there is ancient teachings of the Toltecs about what gifts that gives to the feminine and how it can benefit the masculine and so on. But much of the information, which is oral, has been lost, and some of it has become distorted. For instance, some of the fake beliefs of Toltecs is that accounts for the imbalance in the feminine, because the feminine is far more volatile because she's fluid, and that the imbalance is caused by the additional orifice. I have not found any evidence anywhere to support this, but it is indicative that she holds an extra opening. It is something that was so important to know that we embedded it in the feminine body. It is in male and female the place of the high heart. So, there is one more thing that we had to do for humanity prior to leaving. And it's not that you are leaving humanity, it's that you're leaving their reality. And that is to bring closure to the fact that the belief is there that you must have building blocks of life for form to exist. Because that tyranny of thinking that we need the building blocks of life has put the earth at risk. And there is a particularly strong game plan in place between 3 Asian countries and 10 Middle Eastern countries to control the world through nanotechnology. So nanotechnology is the equivalent of the tyranny of the building blocks of life. In each instance, as we've gone round and round this massive wheel inside duality, the infinite has cleaned and cleansed these awareness particles, the subatomic particles. Each and every time when we come to a specific point on the wheel that we have been captured in the treadmill, we find yet again that they take over and run life. And they run it according to old programs. So the next thing is that, in fact, we are at that point. And it's not that we have to get rid of every single thing that has a building block in, it's that we have to get rid of the tyranny. So the tyranny is thinking that we absolutely need them. If we can know that there is matterless matter that lies beyond this reality of oneness, many Eastern masters are there, and the reality of duality, there is an existence beyond that has matterless matter, and that does not have opposites that oppose, but rather opposites that are not opposites. They are aspects of the one and same thing, but they simply are emphasized. Let's take a look at this. The power sources have been identified. The power source of duality is the movement back and forth. It's inefficient energy between the poles, the law of compensation. It will run out. Just like a body that ages and then the soul leaves to the soul world, that is when life leaves for a reality of oneness. We found recently a manuscript that I had written, I think 3-4 years ago now, and we call it the Lost Manuscript. And this last manuscript will actually be given on the I Am course in the very near future. In there was questions asked of me of my role on Earth. And as you can sort of see that I'm dancing around the answer, but one of the answers that I gave is that I come to help cosmoses die. And it simply means the transition between the inner and the outer, and the inner, the outer, the white light, the black light, white light, black light. Now, when we go into death, which the death of the cosmos, we are going into a reality of oneness. We can live that reality amongst man. There is now a secret that is not really a secret, but I just have so many things that I realize and I don't always get an opportunity to express it, so it has been unsaid. But it is a secondary value of our elixirs of light and our sound elixirs. They are to remove illusion, but they balance white and black light and white and black sound. What is that? Resurrection. So there is a tubetoral spiraling that takes place within the oneness that provides its energy. Now we leave oneness, we leave duality, they are but two large opposites. We go out through the high heart, and what are we going into? The first stage of resurrection. The first stage of resurrection is the stage in which there is such glorious ability to live as a god. We've gone through multiple of the aspects of that this week. Our sound elixirs and our light elixirs have been preparing us at a subtle level for resurrection. They have removed illusion and they have combined life and death, which also means that they have prolonged life and they have brought youthening. It's not something we have ever said, so it's not even something we have told people, if you buy this, then it will do this, but it does. In the first resurrection, we become so aware of our inner senses that the infinite is inspiring us within, and there is this immediate response. I am going to call it of exhilaration, of excitement, of deep yearning. I mean, these are just a few of the qualities that I would assign to how these inner senses respond. The ruins, all 672 of them, are describing what they are trying to say. They're trying to speak to outer space, because what it is potential responded to and then articulated. As we cooperate with the infinite in an alchemical partnership, we are engaged in a whole new energy source, and it creates for us the opportunity to be co-creators of the journey. Whichever journey we are able to take is the infinite's will. So there is this huge freedom of choice. We recently produced maps of space, of time, within the cosmic space. The maps of time within the cosmic space shows us it doesn't really matter where you go. All of this is part of the design of the infinite. Let's look at hormones. In duality, the pheromones that send external messages to your environment are sexual messages. It says, Hormonally, I am available for procreation so we can protect the species in case it wants to die out. And it signals availability of the most fertile time of the month, and so on. It creates a great deal of confusion because it overrides intrinsic value of partners. If there's strong hormonal messages of I'm very available, I'm very masculine, or whatever, it can override our better judgment, and people marry or are drawn to people that are completely unsuitable because the hormonal messages override it. Secondly, it denigrates, which means it lowers the possibilities between partners by making them primarily a partnership to procreate the species. There is enormous possibility that lies between partners. But it is unmet because of these hormones that override everything in physicality. When you go into oneness, see, in duality, you are not in the God kingdom. You can, however, be in the ascension level. But once you go beyond ascended mastery, you go into Godhood, you are now in oneness. The oneness has an additional building block that recently somebody showed me a little article or something that they have discovered this unique, it either was the unique hormone or it was a unique subatomic particle that glows. It's the one-celled particle that I've called the God particle. It's a building block, a subatomic particle in oneness, and the subatomic particle generates a God hormone. We have spoken about this, particularly on our course of, the one that about entering Godhood. We have spoken about it, and what this one broadcasts to its environment, so it is also a pheromone, it broadcasts the interpretation of the will of infinite intent. It starts to master its inner senses, but it comes a lot through the effortless knowing because the little God particle is also open to the inspiration of the infinite voice. The bottom line of it is, at this point, the hormones change and they start to broadcast the interpretation of the infinite's intent. What happens when we move out of these levels of life into the reality where we are in matterless matter? In matterless matter, there is yet a pheromone produced, but this pheromone is the manifestation of infinite intent. The matterless matter, which I will explain a little more carefully, the matterless matter is extremely responsive to intent. Well, how do you give ongoingly the intent of your being, which is aligned with the infinite, to your environment to make it take shape? Through these pheromones. And the pheromones have to come through the skin. And the skin's acupuncture points are like little vibrating centers that emit it. To understand matterless matter and its fluid form, we look at the ocean. The ocean makes a wave. You can absolutely see the wave. If you're quick with your camera, you can capture the wave in a little second there. But then the wave goes back into the ocean. There's fluid shape-taking and remaking itself on a continual basis. This is matterless matter. Now, it's matterless because it doesn't use the building blocks of life, and it is non-magnetic. It is actually also non-electric because electricity comes from light magnetics comes from the frequency component in the subatomic particles. We don't have those. I saw something in the night when I looked at reality around me, and it looked somewhat like waves of filaments. But you could not isolate a filament, because the minute you look at it, it's already changed. As of the artwork that I received in the flowers of the dream world from the fairies, and the music is also received from the fairies by our Russian spiritual journeys director, Sergei Akhkasov, and putting it together is magic. But you will start to see for the first time some waves in the shapes of the flowers. Recently, I started to receive for the meridians, and the same thing is happening in some places where there's a ripple. That is because the image is actually portraying that light and frequency, which is a waveform, have become one. The art is portraying the unification of light and frequency. In matterless matter, they are not separate. It's just an emphasis, whether you are doing more of the one or the other. Now, there is another very large thing that we studied this week, and that was the fact that the luminous cocoon of man. Now, we've spoken about replacing the matrix with a womb that we make them like a playpen till they are ready to graduate beyond matter. But there is another thing that needs to be replaced for somebody going to the next level off the treadmill into matterless matter. Now, at the bottom, you can go up to ascended mastery. In oneness, you are in Godhood. There are two stages in Godhood. When I was familiar with this, I called the second stage super Godhood. It's not a very good term. It should rather be the second stage of Godhood. In the first stage, you are in the middle of the tube torus, in that you are in observer mode. In the second stage of Godhood, you become the tube torus. All things live within your awareness, but you are participating in life, so you've become the observer and the observed. These are two stages of Godhood. The term super Godhood applies to one who moves out of the dual nature of oneness and the many. Super Godhood is in resurrection. And so far, there are two stages within resurrection, within super Godhood, that I have come across. In the first one, the flow of inspiration is moving through you. In the other one, you don't have to direct it with intent. You become an automatic vehicle of the articulation of potential, guided slightly by the inspiration and the exhilaration that you feel.